Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the Destroy the Stumps podcast. So today, ladies and gents, just going to be doing a review. We're going to be doing a series here in preparation for the T20 World Cup, which starts in about 54 days, officially as of today. The World Cup will start on the 1st of June and finishes on the 29th of June. If it's Australian time, then it starts. If you're in Australia and New Zealand watching it, then it starts on the 2nd of June and finishes on the 30th of June. So, yep, do keep your calendars ready. It should be a very good tournament. And for this T20 World Cup, there's, how many teams are there? There's 20 teams and 55 matches. So this tournament promises to be an absolute cracker of a tournament. I cannot wait till this tournament starts. The host nations are the West Indies and USA. The first time the USA is hosting a major ICC tournament. Well, they might have hosted other ICC tournaments like Associate Leagues and all that, but this will be the first time they've hosted hosting a major tournament. Third time the West Indies are hosting a tournament, an ICC tournament at this level. The first ever ICC tournament they hosted was back in 2007, that ODI World Cup where Australia were just way too good for the other teams. That's quite a lot happened in that World Cup. It was a bit of a sad World Cup as well, but with the passing of Bob Woolmer there. But yeah, that World Cup was a bit of a weird, bit of a strange tournament. But got to really tip your hat off to the Aussies. They were so good. And they were under a bit of pressure heading into the tournament after a pretty ordinary ODI campaign at home. They fell apart. They actually started really well, but they just fell apart towards the end of that tri-series between them and New Zealand and Australia back in 2007. Then they lost. They got whitewashed in New Zealand 3-0. Ricky Ponting had a bit of a verbal argument with the with one of the journalists prior to that tournament, saying that we'll see in about 6 or 8 weeks' time, or whatever the tournament's duration was, he'll be smiling and like who's champion. He said something along those lines, and well, turned out to be prophetic in the end, as Australia won their third consecutive World Cup title, and they are the only team to have won three consecutive ODI World Cups or ICC tournaments. This Australian men's team in the late 90s and early to mid 2000s. What a team that was. The second time they hosted it was 3 years later. Hosted an ICC tournament was the ICC T20 World Cup. England beating Australia in the final. That was an eventful T20 World Cup as well. Quite a few things happened there. But, the West Indies hosted that. So, yeah, that tournament was very interesting as well. England winning their first ever ICC tournament ever. They never won an ICC tournament prior to that. ICC tournament started in 1975 with the ODI World Cup. Then they had the Champions Trophy later on. Then the T20 World Cup came in the late 2000s. So England didn't win anything prior to that. So about 35 years it took them to win their first ever ICC tournament. So yeah, that was quite a historic moment there. Fairly young English team mixed with a few experienced campaigners, and Kevin Peterson, Paul Collingwood was captain, and then you got young Craig Keyswood, a South African born keeper, batted beautifully in the final. And unfortunately, his career kind of got cut short due to an eye injury or something. Pretty brutal injury, unfortunately. It just affected him, and yeah, he couldn't play cricket after that injury, unfortunately. And the likes, young Stuart Broad was excellent in that tournament. England were just really good, and really just a sign of something. That tournament kind of showed how good England were as a team across all three formats. They were pretty strong across all three formats around about the 2010s and early 2010s, 2010 and then a couple of the last, and then 3 or 4 years in that little period, they were really strong, especially in the tests and T20s, they were pretty good as well, and ODIs, they were really good as well. for the most part, well, they weren't good in the next two tournaments, the two T20 World Cups, but yeah, they just definitely were a better team than what they had been in previous years. They were really building well, England. They're a pretty good team at that time. But yeah, now this is the third tournament to ever be played in the West Indies, so, and they're going to be coasting with USA. So yeah, it'll be interesting. A lot of news going on. News going on about the USA team with Corey Anderson, former New Zealand all-rounder, now eligible to play for the USA. He'll be playing against Bangladesh in a three-match series against, I think it's a tri-series or something with Bangladesh and USA, and then there's another team that'll be playing against each other in the USA prior to the T20 World Cup commencing. So Corey Anderson finally playing some international cricket. Unmukh Chand, former Indian under-19 World Cup captain, who was successful back in 2012, winning the under-19 World Cup he was captain of that Indian team. Fortunately, couldn't make the tri-series squad, but I don't know, not too sure if he can make the ODI, the T20 World Cup, but let's see what happens there. Still a bit of time. There's still a lot of time as well. Jofra Archer also just coming in, maybe willing to play the T20 World Cup. Ben Stokes, depending on his fitness and all that, how the English cricket board see how his fitness is and all that, the coaching staff see how his fitness is, he might be eligible to play. Jofra Archer hasn't played a lot of cricket for England in quite some time, has had a lot of injuries since bursting onto the scene in international cricket in 2019. He's had quite a few injury setbacks, so see how he goes. Don't think he's played a test since that New Zealand test match, so it's been quite some time, honestly. And don't know when the last time he actually played an ODI or T20. Maybe South Africa late 2022 or something. I'm not sure when was the last time he played. He's had a lot of injuries, Jofra Archer, unfortunately. But it is exciting, but he gets injured quite often. And Ben Stokes, who was part of the England team in the last T20 World Cup, he will not be playing this tournament. He's opted out, and also out of the T20 World Cup. And also Colin Munro, former New Zealand T20 batsman, who plays a lot of T20 cricket around the world. I was very surprised New Zealand didn't select him in the T20 World Cup back in 2022 when he had a lot of success for the Perth Scorchers in the BBL in prior years, and plays a lot of T20 cricket in Australia and all around the world, Pakistan. I think he's played in Bangladesh. He's played in the IPL as well previously, Caribbean Premier League in England. And has a good record internationally as well in T20s. Not so much ODIs, only played one test, which was really strange. But despite having such a good first-class record in New Zealand, but Colin Munro, South African-born batsman, played a lot of his cricket for Auckland. He might be picked for New Zealand for the T20 World Cup. So he's not playing. He's not going to be playing the five-match series, which starts next week against Pakistan. But he could be an outside chance of playing the T20 World Cup, playing in the T20 World Cup for New Zealand. So that would be a huge, huge move from New Zealand, because Martin Guptill didn't play the T20 World Cup, and I don't think he's going to play this T20 World Cup, to be fair. But New Zealand have kind of moved on from a few players. They've just who've either just left because they play T20 leagues around the world or whatever, or they just dropped them. Guys who've been playing for a while or been around New Zealand cricket for a while, just out of nowhere, they just dropped them and don't seem to pick them. They don't seem to select them after quite some time. It's been a bit of a pattern in recent times. They very rarely play, or they never play again for New Zealand for whatever reason. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. But anyways, without further ado, we're just going to get back to the topic. So the T20, before we do get back to the topic, that T20 World Cup will be excellent. And I can't wait for that to start. And now we're going to be reviewing those T20 World Cups. So we'll be doing a series where we review previous T20 World Cup editions. So going back to 2007, we'll start. That'll be the first episode for today. Yeah, and today we're just going to be getting stuck into reviewing that 2007 T20 World Cup. What a tournament that was. The first ever T20 World Cup. 6 months later, I think about 6 months later after that initial T20 World Cup. Then they had the first IPL edition. So, yeah, quite a lot happening around that time. And a couple of months prior, in March and June, February, March, and maybe early April, they had the ODI World Cup, Australia winning their third consecutive ODI World Cup and their fourth in total. Absolutely dominant. Australia, clearly the best team in the world at that time. So heading into that tournament, there was a lot of talk about India and Pakistan. Both of them did very poorly in the ODI World Cup early that year in 2007. Both teams had shock defeats to teams that were definitely not favourites when it came to head-to-head clashes between those two teams. Bangladesh only won one game against ODI, one ODI against India before they beat them. I think that was a Kensington Oval in Barbados or Jamaica, Sabana Park. I don't remember exactly where they won it. But, yeah, they beat India in a shock result. They were pretty good throughout that game. India were just really horrible. And then on the same day, the very same day, Pakistan were knocked out at the hands of Ireland. Ireland playing their first T20 first ever ICC tournaments, and knocking out Pakistan, former world champions. And then the next day, an unfortunate death of Bawumia. So pretty dark time for Pakistan cricket, pretty dark time for the cricketing world when that happened. But yeah, those two teams, India and Pakistan, the subcontinent neighbors, and also the quite fierce rivals, two of the powerhouses of world cricket, were very disappointing in that tournament. Got knocked out in the group stages. They had a change of coaching staff as well, and also they decided to go a bit of a mix of experienced players, but more so give some young guys a go. And India gave MS Dhoni a go. MS Dhoni was captain for the T20 World Cup. They didn't go with some of the senior pros in that tournament. There was a lot of criticism about that move. If you're an Indian fan, you'd probably know really well what I'm talking about. There was a lot of talk, a lot of young guys there. There were a few experienced campaigners in Vrindar Sehwag. Irfan Pathan he was still pretty young. Irfan Pathan was still pretty young, but he wasn't that experienced. He was experienced at that level, but he was still young in terms of age. MS Dhoni had a bit of experience, but he was still very young. Back then, MS Dhoni had the long hair that he cut. I think he cut it after that tournament, after the tournament 2017 T20 World Cup ended. Also, Yuvraj Singh, experienced campaigner, still fairly young, just kind of reaching his prime years. Didn't have a good T20 World Cup. Didn't have a great ODI World Cup. Well, not many of them really did have a good ODI World Cup, to be fair. Not many of the Indian players had a great ODI World Cup at all. And I don't think they had a coach for the tournament either. Did they have a coach for the tournament? I don't even know if they had a coach for the tournament. So completely new team. Pakistan had Jeff Lawson, former Australian fast bowler, as a coach. So, yeah, that was an interesting one there. Australia had a bit of a mix of different players as well. Glenn McGrath, the likes of Glenn McGrath had retired as well. Shane Warne didn't play T20s or test matches. Well, he didn't play ODIs for like 5 years. He retired from ODIs quite a while ago, 5 or 4 years. But Justin Langer retired. Australia had brought in a few few different players, but they were mainly relying on guys who were really good in ODIs, who had a bit of success in ODIs, and also the experienced campaigners in Ricky Ponting, I think, played the early part of the tournament. And then Brett Lee, Adam Gilchrist, and Matthew Hayden, of course. So the Aussies were heavily relying on those guys. Australia, still strong team on paper, still the best team in the world heading into that tournament. England had a bit of a different mix of players there, some experienced players, and then you got some young, some guys with limited international experience just coming in to the team. South Africa were the host nation for this first ever T20 World Cup. They were the host nation. for that tournament. This was the second time South Africa hosted a tournament, an ICC tournament. The first time they hosted it was back in 2003 when they hosted the 2003 ODI World Cup. They got knocked down the group stages in that tournament. Pretty disappointing campaign. And Sean Pollock had to resign or he was sacked. I'm not quite sure what happened, but he wasn't captain after that tournament, after South Africa failed to get out of the group stages, even though they were one of the favourites heading to that tournament. Very disappointing campaign there, but this is second time they're hosting a tournament at home, an ICC tournament at home. And this tournament lasted over about 2 weeks, so it's quick fire tournament. Started from the 11th of September to the 24th of September 2007, just 2 weeks basically, just about 2 weeks, even if you look at the maths, maybe 13 days even. And 12 teams, so 12 teams, pretty smallish tournament compared to the one that's going to happen in June this year. 12 teams, 27 matches, quick fire, quick action. That's what I really believe T20 should be, just quick fire action. Just get a quick tournament over and done with, that's it. T20 tournaments, leagues, domestic leagues, T20 tournaments, international tournaments, whatever it is, whatever form of T20 it is, even grade T20s, local T20 leagues, they should just be quick tournaments and just get it over and done with, and that's it. Because T20, it's all fast action, fast-paced action, a non-stop action. That's what it really seems to be. Should just get over and done with, and that makes the tournament memorable, I reckon, and better. And also, 27 teams. So it was a group stage in the tournament format, group stage, then you had the knockouts, the top two teams from... So you had the four groups of three teams. Then you had the Super 6, Super 8s, two groups of four teams. And then the top two teams from both groups of the Super 8s would go through to the semifinal. Then the semifinal lists the winner of Group A. So winner of Group A of the Super 8s would verse the second team in Group B of the Super 8s. Then the winner of winner of Group B versus the team that finishes second in Group A. So I went, and then the winner of the semifinals would face each other in the final at Johannesburg, the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg, also known as the Bull Ring. Squads for each team for this World Cup. Bangladesh definitely had a good, more than successful tournament, reaching the group, the Super 8s or something in the T20 in the ODI World Cup, knocking out India as well, and also beating South Africa as well in that tournament. So they had a good tournament. They were looking to pull off, had a more than successful tournament. Something was building there in Bangladesh cricket. They were looking to pull off another upset in this T20 World Cup. Their team, Mohammad Ashraful, captain, Mashrafi Murtaza, vice-captain, Abdul Razak, Aftab Ahmed, Alok Kapali, Farhad Reza, Junaid Siddiqui, Mohammad Mamadullah, and Mushfiq Rahim, young Mushfiq Rahim, Nadif Chaudhry, Nazimuddin, Shakib Alhasan, young Shakib Alhasan there, Syed Rasul, whatever, young Tommy McBowl there as well, and Ziaur Rahman. So that was Bangladesh's team. South Africa was supposed to have Lutz Bosman, but he was ruled out of the competition with a lower back injury. He was pretty powerful, Lutz Bosman. But Graham Smith, pretty well-known hitter there in South Africa. Graham Smith was captain for South Africa. And then Mark Boucher, AB de Villiers, Sean Pollock. Sean Pollock's last ICC tournament for South Africa. Mackay Ncini, I think that was his last ICC tournament for South Africa as well. Andre Nell, Tandi Shabalala, Morne Morkel, young Morne Morkel playing his first tournament for South Africa. Albie Morkel, the brother of Morne Morkel, Justin Kemp, Johan van der Vaart, Vernon Philander, Herschel Gibbs, John Paul Dumini, better known as JP Dumini, and Ghulam Bodie. That was South Africa's team. West Indies, Ramna Sawan, Dwayne Bravo, Shiv Narayan Chandrapal, Pedro Collins, Narsingh Dhanorayan, Fidel Edwards, Chris Gayle, Renato Morton, Darren Powell, the late Renato Morton, Darren Powell, Dinesh Ramdan, Ravi Rampal, Darren Sammy, Marlon Samuels, Devin Smith, and then Dwayne Smith, the all-rounder. And that was the teams from Group A. Those three teams won Group A, South Africa, West Indies, and Bangladesh in Group A. Group B, Australia, Sean Tate was named in the original squad, but had to pull out due to an elbow injury. And then he was replaced by Ben Hilfenhaus. And the squad was basically the same, similar squad, generally the same squad, except minus Glenn McGrath from the team that won the ICC World Cup earlier that year in 2007. So Reggie Ponting, captain, Adam Gilchrist, vice-captain, Nathan Bracken, Stuart Clark, Michael Clark, Brad Haddon, Matthew Hayden, Ben Hilfenhaus, Brad Hodge, Brad Hogg, Michael Hussey, Mitchell Johnson, Brett Lee, Andrew Simons, the late Andrew Simons, and Shane Watson. England, Ravi Bopara pulled out of the tournament after dislocating his thumb during a bowling spell in the ODI series against India prior to that tournament. James Anderson replaced him, and then Ryan Sidebottom had to withdraw from the tournament as well after he failed to recover from a side injury during the third test against India in early August. Dimitri Mascarenhas, the all-rounder, was called up as a replacement, Ryan Sidebottom. So England's team, Paul Collingwood, captain, James Anderson, young Stuart Broad making his playing an ICC tournament there. I think that was his first or his second ICC tournament. Yeah, because he played earlier in the year in the 2007 World Cup. Andrew Flintoff, James Kirtley, Darren Matty, Dimitri Mascarenhas, Kevin Peterson, Matt Prior, Chris Schofield, Oes Shah, Jeremy Snape, who is now I think he's like one of the coaches or something in the Delhi Capitals now. And then Vikram Solanki, who's now the CEO of the Gujarat Titans. Chris Tremlett is a bodybuilder now. Luke Wright, I think, coaches in New Zealand as well, or he coaches somewhere in the world. I don't know what he's doing right now, but yeah, Luke Wright, pretty handy player to have these days. He was pretty handy. Yeah, so he was a T20 selector, England T20 selector back in 2022. So Luke Wright came that. Then Zimbabwe, Tatenda Taibu returned to the team for the first time in 2 years. And then Prosper Tsaya, captain for Zimbabwe, Gary Brent, Justice Chibaba, Elton Chigumbura, Keith Dabengwa, Timisen Maruma, Johnson Marumisa, Hamilton Mazakadza, Stuart Matsukaneri, Christopher Mpofu, Tawanda Muparewa, Vusi Sibanda, Tatenda Taibu, like I mentioned, playing his first tournament for first match for Zimbabwe in 2 years, and then Brendan Taylor and Sean Williams. So Group B contained Australia, England, and Zimbabwe. And then Kenya, and then Group C, Kenya featured Steve Tikolo, captain for Kenya, veteran, Rajesh Bhudia, Jimmy Komande, Tanmay Mishra, Alex Obanda, Colin Zaboya, David Abuya, Namea Odhiambo, Thomas Adoyo, Peter Ongondo, Lamek Onyango, Elijah Otieno, Maurice Uma, Tony Suji, Hiran Varaya as well. So that was their team. Then that's a team there. And in New Zealand, Stephen Fleming, who stepped down from being an ODI captain for New Zealand after the 2007 World Cup. He wasn't included. Daniel Vittori was given the captaincy. Scott Stiris could be replaced as he could have been replaced.
as he did struggle with injury problems, playing for Durham in England in 2007 in that year. So he was playing county cricket. He was struggling with injuries at the time. Scotty Stiers had a decent tier ODI World Cup, Scotty Stiers in 2007. But anyways, New Zealand team, Daniel Vettori, captain New Zealand for the first time in an ICC tournament. Shane Bond, Peter Fulton, Mark Gillespie, Gareth Hopkins, Brendan McCullum, Nathan McCullum, older brother of Brendan McCullum, making his playing. He ended up playing his first game for New Zealand, playing a bit of a major role in New Zealand cricket in different tournaments. Nathan McCullum, pretty useful all rounder, off spin bowling all rounder, and can hit the ball as well. He's a pretty handy hitter, decent fielder as well, pretty useful all rounder. Craig McMillan, playing his last ICC tournament for New Zealand. Chris Martin, Jacob Oram, Jeetan Patel, Bradley Scott, Scott Stiers, Ross Taylor, and Lou Vincent. And Sri Lanka's team, Matai Muralidharan, the great man himself, was originally selected in the squad but had to withdraw after straining a bicep. Dilrohan Pereira replaced him. Mahela Jayawardena, captain. He helped Sri Lanka reach the final of the 2007 ODI World Cup early in the year. Tilakaratna Dilshan, Dilara Fernando, Asanta Fernando, Sanath Jayasuriya, Kaushal Lokarachi, Faviz Maruf, Lasith Malinga, an absolutely brilliant ODI World Cup, was one of the standouts and became a superstar after that tournament. Jihan Mubarak, Dilrohan Pereira, Kumar Sangakkara, the great man himself, Chamara Silva, Upal Turanga, Chaminda Vas, and Gayan Weakun. So Group C had Kenya, New Zealand, and Sri Lanka. And Group D, the final group of that first T20 World Cup in 2007, you had Mahendra Singh Dhoni, captain for India, Yuvraj Singh, vice-captain, Virender Sehwag, Ajit Agarkar, Gautam Gambhir, Harbhajan Singh, Joginder Sharma, Dinesh Kartik, Irfan Pathan, Yusuf Pathan, the older brother of Irfan Pathan, then Piyush Chawla, young Rohit Sharma, who'll be playing the T20 World Cup this year as well. He was a part of that T20 World Cup campaign for India, playing his first ICC tournament. RP Singh, Shantakumar and Srisanth, and Robin Uttappa. And Pakistan, Shoaib Akhtar was supposed to be selected for the tournament, but he had a bit of an altercation with Muhammad Asif, hit him with a bat, and then he was handed an indefinite ban by the Pakistan Cricket Board and sent home from the tournament before it even began. Sohail Tanveer, left-arm fast bowler, who had a bit of an awkward action, a bit of like a slingshot release. Looked like he rotated his arm twice before he released the ball. Uncapped all-rounder, handy hitter as well, Sohail Tanveer, replaced Shoaib Akhtar. And then Mizbollah Haq was a controversial selection ahead of Muhammad Yusuf. Muhammad Yusuf, quite a revered batsman in Pakistan at the time, and pretty much, was. Anyways, he was selected ahead of, so Mizbollah Haq was selected ahead of him. Mizbah played a bit of a major role in the tournament. We'll get to that later on in the episode. But yeah, Pakistan, so yeah, there you go. Pakistan and India going for some different players ahead of, some inexperienced players ahead of the experienced campaigners, just trying to shake it up a bit after disappointing tournaments in the disappointing campaign early in the year, in the 2007 ODI World Cup, where they both got knocked out in the group stages, like I mentioned. Probably stop mentioning that anyways. Mizbollah Haq playing ahead of Muhammad Yusuf. It's a controversial selection, but it happened anyways. And then Shoaib Malik was captain, Abdul Rahman, Fahad Alam, Rao Iftikhar Anjum, Kamran Akmal, remember him. Then you got Mizbollah Haq, Muhammad Asif, Muhammad Hafiz, Salman Butt, Shahid Afridi, Sohail Tanveer, Shahid Afridi and Sohail Tanveer, Umar Gul, Yasser Arafat and Yunus Khan. Scotland, their team featured Ryan Watson, captain, John Blaine, Dougie Brown, Gordon Drummond, Gavin Hamilton, Majid Haq, Ross Lyons, Neil McCallum, Gregor Maiden, Dewald Nell, Navdeep Punia, yep, Kasim Sheikh, Colin Smith, yep, Colin, I remember that guy, I think, no, I don't remember him. Fraser Watts, Craig, and Craig, yeah, Fraser, yeah, Craig Wright, Craig Wright, Fraser Watts, okay, I'll stop that now, but yeah, that's, so yeah, Fraser Watts and Craig Wright, that was the team for Scotland. Group D, India, Pakistan, and Scotland. And then just moving on to the first game of the tournament. So those were the groups, and that's the squads for the first ever ICC T20 World Cup. The first one basically kicked off the South African summer, really, that tournament. The West Indies versus South Africa, the first ever T20 international game in a T20 World Cup. First ever T20 World Cup game, whatever way you want to put it. And it was a special occasion. It was at the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg, also known as the Bullring. Night T20, pretty much a full crowd there, good crowd there. And South Africa, the host nation versus West Indies. Kind of similar to the first ODI World Cup, where the West Indies versus South Africa. In the first game of that tournament, the West Indies coming up trumps there. The great Brian Lara scored a superb 100. The West Indies, despite their best efforts, couldn't quite get the job done. Couldn't quite get over the line, unfortunately. But this time around, they turned 4 years later in the first ever T20 World Cup. And in front of their home crowd this time around, they did a really good job. They turned the fortunes around, winning the toss, selecting the bat first. So electing the field first. T20 debuts for Morne Morkel, Van Philander, Phil Edwards, and Ravindra Sarwan. But yep, the West Indies, on the back of an excellent 100 from Chris Gayle, the first ever T20 international 100 in a T20 World Cup game. And it's the great man who really just became synonymous with T20 cricket, one of the greatest T20 players to ever play the game. Played a lot of T20, ended up playing a lot of T20 cricket around the world in many leagues. Chris Gayle even played in Zimbabwe, of all places, Chris Gayle. When they started the T20 league, I think that was back in 2000 and early 2010s or something. Remember that. And he's played in the UAE and all these different countries now. Also played in T10s. The hundreds, I think he's played in the 100 as well. He's played in England, he's played in Australia, South Africa. I think he's played in South Africa. Domestic League over there, Caribbean Premier League, of course. IPL, that's where he really made a name for himself. In Sri Lanka, I think he's played Pakistan, Bangladesh, Australia. Don't think he's played in New Zealand, Chris Gayle. The Jamaican, the big Jamaican, Chris Gayle. I think he does play occasionally from time to time. Chris Gayle. Yeah, he's played in the US, I think, as well. So, geez, how many teams has he played for? Goodness gracious. What a guy Chris Gayle is, honestly. Love to have a party with that guy. And he's an entertainer, Chris Gayle. The great man from Jamaica. But anyways, Chris Gayle, 117 off 57 balls, 7 fours, 10 sixes at a strikeout of 205.26, blasted the West Indies to a total of 205 for 6. South Africa, all of them got pasted. The great man Sean Pollock got pasted. Everybody had a pretty rough outing. Morne Morkel was actually all right on debut, the most economical bowler for the team. But, South Africa in reply. On the back of Herschel Gibbs and Justin Kemp, Herschel Gibbs scoring 90 odd of 55 balls not out for 14 fours and 2 sixes. Strike at 163.63, chasing down the total. And the South Africans finished on 208 for 2 off 17.4 overs, chasing 206 to win. They won that game by 8 wickets with 14 balls remaining, basically just one step away from qualifying for the Super 8s. West Indies had to beat Bangladesh, otherwise they were knocked out. They're going to be knocked out of the tournament. So not a great start for the Windies despite Chris Gayle's best efforts. And the T20 World Cup got off to an absolute flyer. Then the first game in Group C, second game of the tournament, Kenya-New Zealand, absolutely one-sided. Kenya this match was played at Kingsmead Durban. It was a day T20. Kenya absolutely absolutely rollocked by the Kiwis. Top four getting out for Ducks. How about that? And then two more batsmen got out for Ducks. So six Ducks in that inning, 73 all out, 16.5 overs. It was an ODI, runner out of an ODI match, but they just could not go into second gear. Four wickets for Mark Gillespie, he was outstanding. Two wickets apiece for Shane Bond, Chris Martin, Dan Vettori. Daniel Vettori, first time being captain for New Zealand in an ICC tournament for Daniel Vettori. Couldn't have got off to a better start for New Zealand. And they chased down the target with a 74 for 1, winning by 9 wickets with 74 balls remaining. Absolute hammering. And New Zealand got pretty much just one step away from qualifying for the Super 8s, the Kiwis. Kenya had to pull off an upset over Sri Lanka like they did 4 years ago in the ODI World Cup. But this time, they did it in the T20 World Cup. Kenyan cricket was kind of on a decline at that stage. There was talk of them after the 2003 World Cup. ODI World Cup becoming a test nation, but slowly their performances didn't get that better. They didn't really improve that much in ICC tournaments, and they were knocked out. They lost that game quite easily to New Zealand. And they reached a semi-final, the first ever, and still to date, the only associate team to have qualified for the World Cup semi-finals, semi-finals of any ICC tournament, major ICC tournament, so... Yeah, and they just fell off pretty bad. Then first game in Group D was played at Durban, same venue as the New Zealand-Kenya game. Pakistan versus Scotland. Pakistan absolutely hammering Scotland. 51-run win. Shahid Afridi, quick cameo and 4 wickets. Man of the match performance from him. Pakistan, everybody doing their bit, getting 171 for 9. And then Scotland, well, they were just never in the chase. 4 wickets apiece for Umar Gul and Shahid Afridi. Easy win for the Pakistanis. They got off to a good start in the tournament. And much needed a good start. Shahid Afridi, absolutely superb. Man of the match. Good all-round performance from him. And helping Pakistan get off to a really good start. Winning by 51 runs. And Australia versus Zimbabwe. Australia expected to absolutely demolish Zimbabwe. Well, probably one of the biggest upsets ever in ICC ODI cricket in the T20 World Cup. And maybe ICC tournament history, really. The greatest team, one of the greatest teams of all time, got beaten by Zimbabwe against the odds. Zimbabwe were in absolute political turmoil around this time. The team was an absolute mess. I think they were going to lose a test match. They were going to lose their test match status due to political interference and all that. So they were an absolute mess. Especially after doing okay in the 2003 World Cup, ODI World Cup, it all fell apart after that tournament. And, they were an absolute shambles. But on the day, this match was played at Cape Town. Newlands and Cape Town. T20 international debuts for Brad Hodge, Mitchell Johnson for Australia, and 4-3 debutants for the Zimbabweans, Tawanda Mupariwa. Tatenda Taibu making his T20 international debut, and Vusi Sabanda making his T20 international debut, and also Tawanda Mupariwa and Tatenda Taibu making their T20 debuts domestically as well. So quite a few debutants in this tournament making their T20 debuts, so yeah, there's that as well. Australia never really got going, 138 for 9, restricted to that. Thankfully, a little cameo from Brad Hodge got them there. He was the top scorer, 35 of 22 balls not out, 2 fours, 2 sixes at a strike at 159.09. Brad Hodge kind of developed a career in T20s, playing T20 cricket around the world. In the end, probably could have played more test matches and ODIs for Australia, but it wasn't to be. It's just the way the team was. Australia were just such a good team at the time, yet they had so many good players, and Brad Hodge couldn't play that many matches, but for Australian test matches and ODIs, but it is what it is. 138 for 9 off 20 overs after going on a run rate 6.90 runs and over. 3 wickets for Elton Chagumbara, 2 wickets for Gary Brent, the veteran there. Gary Brent, how old was he then? 48, yeah, far out. He was 30-odd, wasn't he? Yeah, he was 31, yep, Gary Brent. And a wicket apiece for Prosper Sayer and Hamilton Mazakadze. They were really good with the ball, restricting Australia, just bowling good lines and length and just restricting the Aussies from scoring freely. And then Brendan Taylor anchored the innings beautifully and got Zimbabwe home
60-odd out of 45 balls, 4 fours, 2 sixes at a strike at 133.33. Despite the odd hiccup, Zimbabwe got home 139 for 5 off their 19.5 overs. An absolute thriller and one of the great games in T20 World Cup history and T20 history as well. Maybe cricket, you'd say cricket history. A huge upset. Really just shaked up the tournament. And a wicket apiece for Brett Lee, Nathan Bracken, and Mitchell Johnson. 2 wickets for Stuart Clark, but yeah, the target just wasn't enough for Australia to defend. They couldn't defend 139. Zimbabwe winning by 5 wickets with one ball remaining. Brendan Taylor, man of the match, and that really kind of just pushed Brendan Taylor on the international scene, and he became one of Zimbabwe's greatest players ever in ODIs, T20s. He just became a legend of the game for Zimbabwe. Really good player. In a tough period for Zimbabwean cricket, Brendan Taylor did a really good job there. Just having a look. I mean, his test career wasn't too bad either. Decent test career as well. Yeah, we could keep a batsman, and he did a really good job, Brendan Taylor. Retired a bit earlier thing in 2015, after the 2015 World Cup. I was surprised he retired then, but that is what it is. 30, but... far out. Surprised he retired then, but anyways, it is what it is. Well done. Really good stuff from Brendan Taylor. Huge upset. And then the very next game, the West Indies were knocked out of the T20 World Cup in the group stages. They went home without a win. Bangladesh pulling off another upset in ICC tournaments. In 2007, just continued their excellent year, really, in cricket. Really productive year, and some huge highlights for Bangladesh. Just continued again. Mohammad Ashraf got a wicket, but he was very expensive. Man of the match performance day, smashed 61. West Indies, 164 for 8 off their 20 overs. Half century to Devon Smith, but he was very slow. Struggled a bit. Not really the easiest innings. Marlon Samuels was handy. Dwayne Smith, a little handy cameo from him. But, yeah, the Windies just... not enough on the board. Chris Gayle was dismissed for a third ball duck. Centurion from last game, then dismissed for a third ball duck next game. 164 for 8 off their 20 overs. 4 wickets for Shakib Alhasan, the young man, all-rounder. Abdul Razak getting 2 wickets. Saad Russell getting a wicket. Huge wicket of Chris Gayle. He was economical as hell. Have a look at these figures. 1 for 10 off 4 overs. 1 maiden over. Economy rate of 2.50 runs an over. Didn't bowl a wide or an overall. Outstanding figures in ODIs, T20s, test matches. You know, that's brilliant figures. And then Shakib Alhasan, 4 for 34 for his 4 overs. No maiden overs. Economy rate of 8.50 runs and over. A little bit expensive, but got 4 wickets. Bowled 1 wide, didn't bowl an overall. And a wicket for Mohammad Ashraful and 2 for Abdul Razak. So, yeah, brilliant stuff there from Bangladesh. Bit patchy, sorry, but still restricting West Indies to a total. That was definitely chaseable. And chase it, did they do it or what? Aftab Ahmed, outstanding veteran. 62 for not out of 49 balls, 8 fours and a 6, strikeout of 126.53. And then the man himself, Mohammad Ashraful, the captain, man of the match performance from him, 61 of 27 balls, 7 fours, 3 sixes, strikeout of 225.92. And Bangladesh finished 165 for 4 off 18 overs. And they won the game by 6 wickets with 12 balls remaining. 2 wickets apiece for Ramanuresh Sarwan and Ravi Rampol, but yep, it was a horrible day out for the West Indies. Really horrible day out with the ball and with the bat. Just that's it. End of the tournament. Their tournament ended at Johannesburg Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. And Bangladesh would go home, go through to the next round with the host nation, South Africa. So that was that from Group A, and then one more game remaining there. And then you had what was the next game? And then England versus, so there's 3 games on the one day. Well, how about that? That's cool. Anyways, then the second game in Group B on the same day at Cape Town, at Newlands and Cape Town, England versus, well, not really on the same day, really. Not really on the same day. How the fuck was that possible? Sorry, the very next day after Australia pulled off, Australia were beaten. Zimbabwe had a chance of qualifying for the Super Sixes, Super Eights. Didn't happen, unfortunately. Kevin Peterson smashed an excellent half-century for England. 188 for 9 off their 20 overs. 4 wickets fell to Chigumura. Wicket apiece for Tawanda Mupariwa, Prosper Sayer and Chamu Chibaba. But the Zimbabweans just were never in the chase. Brendan Taylor tried to anchor the innings, but couldn't get enough support from the other end. 138 for 7 restricted off their 138 for 7 off their 20 overs. 3 wickets apiece for Dimitri Mascarenhas, a wicket for Stuart Broad, a young Stuart Broad, a wicket for Paul Collingwood, and 2 wickets for Chris Schofield. And that was that. Kevin Peterson, man of the match. England winning by 50 runs. They just they're one step away from reaching the World Cup Super 8s of the T20 World Cup, the inaugural T20 World Cup. And Australia had to win against England in a must-win clash there against the old rival England. So that game would promise to be a cracker. India versus Scotland at Durban. Match was abandoned without even a ball. So the toss was won by Scotland. Won the toss, elected a bat first, but elected a field first, but there was not even a ball bowled because of rain there in Durban. It was rained out. India shared points. That meant,
well, that meant the game against Pakistan, they just have to make sure they didn't lose badly, or they just draw the game or win it. That's it. They go through to the next game, the next round with Pakistan. That game promised to be a cracker. And Sri Lanka versus Kenya, all sorts of records were broken in this game. Wow. So Sri Lanka scoring the highest score in the T20 international game at that time. Absolute carnage there. Just looking through this game. But yeah, so Sri Lanka, Gian Mubarak and Gayan Weerakun making their debuts for Sri Lanka, T20 international debuts for Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka's 260 for 6 was the highest score recorded in any top level T20 match. They also recorded the largest margin of victory, which we'll get to in a second. And because of that game, New Zealand and Sri Lanka qualified, and the last game would just be a match between those two for the top position. But Kenya versus Sri Lanka at the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. Second game of Group C, Kenya got absolutely demolished. 260 for 6, Sri Lanka off their 20 overs, 13 runs and over. Half centuries to Sanaf Jayasuriya and Mahela Jayawardene. And Mahela was absolutely brutal. 65 off 27 balls, the captain for Sri Lanka. 9 fours, 2 sixes, strikeout of 240.74. And Sanaf Jayasuriya, 88 off 44 balls, 11 fours, 4 sixes, strikeout of 200. Outstanding stuff from Sanaf Jayasuriya. And they were brutal on the Kenyans. And Kenya in reply were bowled out for 88. 2 wickets apiece for Lasith Malinga, Chaminda Vaas and Tilakaratne Dilshan, and a wicket apiece for Sanath Jayasuriya and Gayan Weerakun. And that was that for the Sri Lankans. They won the game by 172 runs. Man of the match, Sanath Jayasuriya, excellent half century and a wicket for him in that game. Sri Lanka go through to the World Cup, the Super 6, Super 8s, and while Kenya basically knocked out in the group stages, they were absolutely tortured in the group six. So the group stages there. And then the next game, England and Australia. Australia had to win. Otherwise, that's it. The tournament was over for them. England, and had to win by a good margin as well, Australia. Otherwise, yep, that's it. England, pretty much through. As long as they don't lose that badly, they should be good. They should have been good. This match was played at Cape Town between the old rivals. Australia did a beautiful job bowling England out for 135. 3 wickets apiece for Nathan Bracken, Mitchell Johnson as well, and 2 wickets for Stuart Clarke and a wicket for Brett Lee. And yeah, England just could not get going at all. Half century to Matthew Hayden and Adam Gilchrist, also playing well. 45 of 28 balls, 5 fours, 1 6, strike at 160.71.
And Matthew Hayden, 67 not out, or 43 balls, 11 fours, 1 6, strike at 155.81. And they put on a partnership of 78 for the second wicket, for the first wicket, and got the team home. Australia finished at 136 for 2, or 14.5 overs, going at the right rate of 9.16 runs and over, and winning the game by 8 wickets with 31 balls remaining. Man of the match, Nathan Bracken, for his 3 wickets of 16, 3 for 16 off his 4 overs. Outstanding stuff, 4 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wider, no ball. Didn't bowl a maiden, no, but that didn't matter. Did a superb job there, Nathan Bracken. And that was that. England and Australia were through Zimbabwe, unfortunately, despite a huge upset over Australia early in the tournament. Didn't go through. But they did land a bit of an impression there. Then India versus Pakistan. How about this game? This game was an absolute thriller. Absolute thriller, this game. Super game, really was. So India versus Pakistan, Kingsmead Durban, the night game, an all-time classic. India finished 141 for 9 off their 20 overs. Pakistan won the toss, I think, in that game, and batted, elected to field first. T20 international debut for Sohail Tanveer. He was good on debut. Really, a whippy action, troubled the Indian batsman as well. It was excellent, but Muhammad Asif, superb. 4 for 18 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs. Conor Murray had a 4.50 runs and over. Did bowl a wide, didn't bowl a no ball. Wicket apiece for Sohail Tanveer and Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat was expensive. Shahid Afridi gained 2 wickets, but he got pumped as well. Half century to Robin Utsapa, good innings from him. Third ball of the match, Gautam Gambhir was dismissed for a third ball duck. So didn't start off well for India. In fact, they were 36 for 4 after Dinesh Karthik departed. And Robin Utsapa, when he departed, it was 82 for 5. After 12.1 overs, then the tail kind of wagged a bit. Dhoni anchoring innings a bit. Irfan Pathan, handy runs to NRJ Dagoka. A little handy cameo from him down the order. Got India to a total that they could definitely defend. And then India in reply, bowling to Pakistan. Half century to Mezbul Haq. He was really good. 53 of 35 balls, 7 fours and a 6. Strike at 151.42. And the match was a tie after the last ball. There was a run out. Mezbul Haq was run out, and 141 for 7 off 20 overs. Pakistan level with India, both got the same run rate, of course, 7.05 runs and over. 2 wickets for Irfan Pathan. Irfan Pathan, it was absolutely superb. 2 for 20 off his 4 overs, 1 maiden over. Conor Murray had 5 runs and over. Wicket apiece for Ajit Ogarkar, RP Singh, and Harbhajan Singh as well. And then India tied. That game was tied. That meant both teams would go through to the Super 8. Scotland were officially knocked out at that stage. Then they had the first ever, I think that's the only first ever bowl out in a T20 World Cup game. The only ever only time a bowl out has happened in the T20 World Cup. And then I think the Super Over came into play a couple years later or something like that, or just after that game or whatever, did come afterwards. So it wouldn't happen again, a bowl out. Did happen between the West Indies and New Zealand in a T20 game a year or two ago prior to this tournament. So yeah, that bowl out, how about the commentary for that? Crazy stuff. And it's kind of like a football shootout. So they had like 3 rounds of the bowl outs, kind of like this, a penalty shootout in football. So Pakistan, India going to a bowl out. Sohail bowled up for India. India, I think, was smart. They just nominated. Pakistan went out for all out bowlers. They had the fast bowlers and the spin of Shahid Afridi and Muhammad Asif backing up. And then India had Virendra Sehwag, part time off spinner, Robin Utsapa. Part-time off-spinner, really. Shantakumar and Srisanth, Irfan Pathan and Harbhajan Singh. And then Pakistan nominated Umar Gul, Sohail Tanveer, Yasser Arafat,
Shahid Afridi and Muhammad Asif. And round one, Virendra Sehwag bowled. Dhoni was waiting behind the stumps, and Sehwag got a bit of a smile on his face, a bit of a smirk, grin on his face, and then he just ran in, hit the stumps flat and fast, and hit the stumps. Yasser Arafat, it was his turn. He bowled a full toss outside off stump, missed it. India led 1-0. Then round two, Harbhajan Singh bowled a quick one, and at the straight at the stumps and hit it. And then Umar Gul bowled the next one off a short run up. He missed the stumps. India led 2-0 after the second round, and massive pressure on Pakistan at that stage. And then Robin Lutapa ran in for India, bowled seam up, and he knocked the stumps over. He took his cap off and bowed to the crowd. It was some crazy scenes, but... And then Pakistan versus... And then Pakistan, they had to get this one, otherwise that was it. The game was over. And India would win on courtesy of a bowl out. Then Shahid Afridi bowled. He fired it down leg side. India won the bowl out 3-0, and that was that. Pakistan lost the game via bowl out. Crazy scenes. One of the best matches you'll see in T20 cricket. Absolute thriller. Absolutely brilliant. And then the last game of the group stage is Bangladesh versus South Africa. Bangladesh, this match was played at Cape Town, Group A in Canada, the final game of the group stages. So now after that India-Pakistan game, there was New Zealand-Sri Lanka prior to that Bangladesh-South Africa game. Last game of Group C, Johannesburg, Wanderers Stadium, Johannesburg. New Zealand 164 for 7. Half century to Ross Taylor, he looked really good. 62 of 43 balls, 3 fours, 3 sixes, struck at 144.18. 2 wickets for Dilhara Fernando, a wicket apiece for Sanath Jasriya, and Gayon Weerakun, and a wicket who got absolutely pumped, Gayon Weerakun and Lasith Malinga. And in reply, Sri Lanka, well, Sanath Jasriya, the veteran, was absolutely brilliant. 61 of 44 balls, 6 fours and 3 sixes, struck at 138.63. Finished at 168 for 3, and they won the game. Chased down the target of 165 with ease, winning the game by 7 wickets with 7 balls remaining. 2 wickets for Daniel Vittori, who was outstanding. A wicket for Scott Storrs. Not a great game for Shane Bourne. One of his rare bad games. He struggled a bit against Sri Lanka, to be fair. And Chris Martin was okay. Mark Gillespie was very expensive. So was Jake Borum. Dan Vittori and Scotty Storrs were excellent, but New Zealand just very patchy with the ball, and it cost them the game. Sri Lanka chasing down the target in 18.5 overs, winning the game by 7 wickets with 7 balls remaining. Sanath Jasriya, a second man of the match in the tournament for him. He was having a good tournament. The veteran, superb game from him. And Sri Lanka finished on top in Group C, and New Zealand finished second, Kenya out of the tournament and last. Now, Bangladesh versus South Africa, this is how it went between the two teams. Cape Town, night T20 there, final game of the group stages. Morne Morkul, his second T20 international for South Africa, man of the match performance from him. 2 wickets for him, 2 for 21 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate of 5.25 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl a no ball, but other than that, he was outstanding. A wicket for Jan van der Vaart, 2 wickets for Verdun Philander, a wicket for Mackay Antini, and 3 wickets for Sean Pollock, who was expensive once again. 144 out in 19.3 overs at a run rate of 7.38 Bangladesh. And then Australia, then in reply, South Africa, 146 for 3 off 18.5 overs, going at a run rate of 7.75. Really did their bit, and they won the game quite easily by 7 wickets with 7 balls remaining. Morne Morkul, man of the match. South Africa finishing on top in Group A. And, so the groups now for the Super 8s. Well, you had this India, England, New Zealand, and South Africa in one group. And then in the second group, you had Group 2 of the Super 8s. You had Australia, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. And the games kind of went like this. So
First game of the Super 8s and the inaugural ICC ODI ICC T20 World Cup between New Zealand and India. I was watching this game with my dad and I sledged him really badly because he was going for India, I was going for New Zealand. Dad was sledging me when India were going all right. And then when India lost, I just said, what happened to India? And he got pretty angry. Good fun. But yeah, New Zealand, 190 all out in 20 overs. They kind of fell apart towards the end, but good contributions from Brendan McCullum and Craig McMillan. But yeah, Jacob Warham doing his bit. So did Daniel Torrey, the captain, who was outstanding. Two catches, 15 off five balls, and a four-wicket haul. He was the difference in the end. New Zealand 190 all out off their 20 overs, going at a run rate of 9.50 runs and over. Two wickets for Arpi Singh, two wickets for Hubbard and Singh. Both of them were outstanding. And a wicket apiece for Yuvraj Singh and Shantakumar Srisanth. Four runouts in the New Zealand innings. Boy, oh boy, that's pretty bad. Lost two last two wickets were runouts because they were going for runs at the end of the innings. But that's that, really. And in reply, India, well, Gautam Gambhir was absolutely outstanding. 51 of 33 balls, 5 fours, 2 sixes, strike out of 154.54. And then, Virendra Sehwag got off to a good start. 40 of 17 balls, 6 fours, 2 sixes, strike rate of 235.29. This is the first ever T20 international encounter between New Zealand and India, by the way. And 76, they finished on 76 for one off their 5.5 overs. After 5.4 overs, that was 76 for none, India. They got off to an absolute flyer. At that stage, I thought they were going to win the game. They were going to cruise to victory. Then they just lost wickets and clusters. And despite the best efforts, low order, it just did not work out, unfortunately. India finished on 180 for 9 off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 9 runs and over. One wicket for Shane Bourne, who was expensive. One wicket for Jeetan Patel, he was very expensive. A wicket for Jacob Warham and Daniel Torrey, man of the match, 4 for 20 off his 4 overs. No maiden overs, economy rate of 5 runs and over. Didn't bowl a one or a no ball. Outstanding stuff from the captain of New Zealand. Then Bangladesh, Australia. Brett Lee became the first bowler to pick up a T20 international hat-trick. That too in a T20 World Cup. He became the first bowler to get a hat-trick in both ODIs and T20s, so really good stuff from him. Brett Lee, man of the match performance, 3 for 27 off his 4 overs. Outstanding stuff from the Aussie speedstar. No maiden overs. Quantum rate of 6.75 runs and over. Bowled 1 wide, bowled 3 no balls. Other than that, he was outstanding. And absolutely ripped apart the Bangladeshi middle order there. .123 for 8 restricted to Bangladesh off their 20 overs. Australia, Matthew Hayden leading the way with the run chase with Adam Gilchrist. Adam Gilchrist, 43 off 28 balls, 1 4, 4 sixes, strikeout of 153.57. Matthew Hayden, 73 off a not out of 48 balls, 9 fours, 3 sixes, strike at 152.08. Both of them put on 104-run partnership for the opening wicket, and Australia finished 124 for 1 off 13.5 overs, going at a run rate of 8.96 runs and over. Bangladesh went at a run rate of 6.15 in their 20 overs. So Australia absolutely blitzing the total, getting off to a good start in the Super 8s, winning by 9 wickets with 37 balls remaining. Next game in the Super 8s, you had South Africa versus England, and at Cape Town, Newlands and Cape Town, Albie Morkel, brutal with the bat, brilliant with the ball, excellent all-round performance from him, 43 off 20 balls, 3 fours, 4 sixes, strike of 215, absolutely brutal. And then 2 for 12 off his 2 overs with the ball, no maiden overs, a quantity rate of 6 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl a no ball. He got the wickets of Ohei Shah and Matt Pryor. Really good stuff from him. Yeah, South Africa, really good. 154 for 8 off 20 overs. Not a great total, not the worst total though. 3 wickets for Stuart Broad, but it was expensive. 2 wickets for Andrew Flantoff. A wicket apiece for Dimitri Mascarenhas, Chris Schofield, and James Anderson. In reply, Luke Wright went for a 4-ball duck. Didn't start well for South Africa. So for England, and it didn't really get better. They were never really in the chase. And O.S. Shah and Matt Pryor getting into the 30s were the top scorers for England. And O.S. Shah, top scorer for England, 36 off 31 balls, 1-4, 2-6s, strike at 116.12. Matt Pryor, 32 off 31 balls, 1-4, 1-6, strike at 103.22. And then you look at the game there. So you look at the other players in the South African innings. The second highest scorer for South Africa was Mark Boucher, 29 off 29 balls, 3-4s, no 6s, strike out of 100. But that was for South African innings. But England restricted the 135 for 7 off 20 overs. Got at a run rate of 6.75 runs and over. 2 wickets for Sean Pollock, his best performance in the tournament so far. Didn't start well, didn't do too well in the group stages. Was pretty expensive, but came back well, the veteran, in this game. 2 for 17 off 4 overs. 1 maiden over, economy rate of 4.25 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wide or a no ball. And a wicket apiece for Morne Morkel and Johan van der Vaart. A.R.B. Morkel, man of the match, 2 for 12 off his 2 overs. No maiden overs. Economy rate of 6 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl a no ball. Mackay and T, none for 29 off his 4 overs. No maiden overs. Economy rate of 7.25 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl a no ball. And Werner Philander, none for 22 off his 2 overs. No maiden overs. Economy rate of 11 runs and over was very expensive. In fact, the most expensive bowler for South Africa on the night. No wides, no maidens bowled by him. South Africa winning the game by 19 runs. Albie Morkel won the match. South Africa one step closer to qualifying for the semi-finals of the T20 World Cup. And and they did that off 6.75 runs. England batted at a run rate of 6.75 runs and over. And you compare that to South Africa, they went at a run rate of 7.70 runs and over in their chase. 7.70 runs and over to 6.75. Compare that to 6.75 runs and over in the chase. Yep, of course they didn't win. Anyways, moving on to the next game. There were a couple of games on the same day, wasn't it? Maybe not. And Pakistan versus Sri Lanka. Pakistan absolutely comfortable win against Sri Lanka. 189 for 6. This match was played at the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. Pakistan Yunuskar scoring a half century, 51 off 35 balls, 2 fours, 3 sixes, strike at 145.71. Shah Malik, the captain, excellent as well. 57 off 31 balls, 4 fours, 2 sixes at a strike rate of 183.87. And 189 for 6 off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 9.45 runs and over. 3 wickets for Lasa Malinga, but he was expensive. 2 wickets for Dilara Fernando and a wicket for Jaminder Vaas. In reply, Sri Lanka, well, never really got going. South Joseph Upoturanga was dismissed for a second ball duck, and it really fell apart from there. Then 156 for 9 off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 7.80 runs and over. They were never in the chase. 2 wickets for Mohammad Asif, 2 wickets for, it was expensive though. A wicket for Sahil Tanveer, a wicket for Mohammad Hafeez, 3 wickets for Shahid Afridi. He was outstanding. 3 for 18 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate of 4.50 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl no ball. Continues his excellent tournament, mainly with the ball, Shahid Afridi. And Umar Gul, 2 for 14 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate of 3.50 runs and over. Bowled one wide, didn't bowl no ball. Man of the match, Yunus Khan, 2 wickets and a half century, outstanding stuff from the veteran. And then New Zealand versus England, pretty much the game that knocked England out of the tournament. England had the win, New Zealand had the win. New Zealand won this game. They were just one step closer to qualifying for the semis. 164 for 9. This match was played at Kingsmead, Durban, day T20. Craig McMillan, outstanding. 57 of 31 balls, 3 fours, 4 sixes, strikeout of 183.87. He was New Zealand's best batter throughout the tournament, easily. 164 for 9 of 20 overs, economy run rate of 8.20 runs and over. 2 wickets apiece for James Anderson and Darren Maddy. 1 wicket apiece for Stuart Broad, Andrew Flintoff and Paul Collingwood. And England replied half century to Darren Maddy. He was looking good, but once he fell, it all fell apart for England. Restricted to 159 for 8 off their 20 overs, going at a run rate of 7.95 runs and over. 2 wickets for Shane Bourne. He was outstanding, probably his best spell of the tournament. 2 for 20 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate of 5 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wide or a no ball though. 2 wickets for Daniel Vittori, 2 for 20 off his 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate of 5 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wide or a no ball, continues his excellent tournament for New Zealand. And a wicket for Chris Martin. New Zealand winning the game by 5 runs, an absolute thriller. And they were one step closer to qualifying. England one step closer to being knocked out of the tournament. Australia versus Pakistan at Johannesburg. Just backing up a day after Pakistan. So they beat Sri Lanka the previous day, and now they're going to play Australia the next day. So, gee, they have to back up a lot in that tournament. Had to back up really quickly. And Australia, 164 for 7 off their 20 overs. Going on a runner of 8.20 runs and over. 3 wickets for Sahil Tanveer. Wicket apiece for Muhammad Asif, Shahid Afridi and Muhammad Hafiz. In reply, excellent half centuries from Shoaib Malik, the captain. A second half century for Shoaib Malik in the tournament. 52 off 38 balls. The captain not out. 4 fours, 2 sixes. Struck at 136.84. And Mirza Bahlhak, man of the match performance from him. 66 not out of 42 balls. 7 fours and a 6, strike at 157.14. Finishing on 165 for 4 off 19.1 overs. Going at a run rate for 8.60 runs and over. Winning by 6 wickets with 5 balls remaining. And have a look at that. So they were really struggling. 46 for 4 early on after 6.4 overs. And then a brilliant unbeaten partnership between Shoaib Malik and Mirza Bahlhak worth 119 for the 4th wicket. Got them home. 3 wickets for Stuart Clark and a wicket for Mitchell Johnson, but that was that, really. Not much, really, to write home about for the Aussies. Their tournament was under pressure. They were at risk of being knocked out in the group stages. Pakistan one step closer to qualifying for the semifinals. Bangladesh versus Sri Lanka. Pretty much a knockout game. Whoever loses, that was it. Their tournament was over. And Sri Lanka demolished Bangladesh at the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. 147 for 5 off their 20 overs. And then in reply, Bangladesh bowled out for 83. They were dismal in 15.5 overs. Going at a run rate of 5.24 runs and over. Excuse me. 2 wickets for Dilara Fernando, 2 wickets for Chaminda Vaas, 2 wickets for Sanath Jasria, and a wicket apiece for Lasith Malinga and Farvez Maroof. Man of the match, Dilara Fernando for 2 wickets for 21. And Sri Lanka winning the game by a convincing margin of 64 runs. That meant Australia versus Sri Lanka would be a knockout game. Repeat of the World Cup final earlier in the year, the 50-over World Cup final, a knockout game here in the Super 8s. Could Sri Lanka get their revenge, or would Australia just beat them once again, knock the Sri Lankans out of the tournament this time? Have to wait and see. Then New Zealand versus South Africa. Well, this match was played at Durban. T20 international debut for Nathan McCullum. South Africa won the toss, selected the field first. And New Zealand, 153 for 8 off their 20 overs. Craig McMillan, top scoring, 48 of 25 balls, not out. 2 fours, 4 sixes, strike out of 192. Brendan McCullum looked good, 38 of 26 balls, 3 fours, 2 sixes, strike out of 146.15. But New Zealand really fell apart. They're chasing 4 wickets for Mono Morkel. He was outstanding, 4 for 17 off his 4 overs. Nermaid Nerva's aquatic rate of 4.25 runs and over 2 wickets for Johan van der Vaart and a wicket for Albie Morkel. Reply, Justin Kemp, brutal for South Africa. 89 not out of 56 balls, 6 fours, 6 sixes, strike at 158.92. Going to South Africa home to a pretty comfortable victory in the end. 158 for 19.1 overs.
Going at it.
Yeah, Justin Kemp at his brutal best. New Zealand, unfortunately, losing the game quite comprehensively. South Africa winning by 6 wickets of 5 balls remaining. Man of the match, Justin Kemp. He was brutal. Geez, he could hit the ball, the big man, couldn't he? 1 wicket for Shane Bourne, 2 wickets for Mark Gillespie. He got in. Mark Gillespie, he was pretty good. Wicket for Chris Martin, Jacob Warham, both of them were pretty expensive though.
Jacob Warham was very expensive in fact, and Dan Vittori was pretty economical, but not enough for New Zealand to defend, couldn't defend 150 for, and 153 for 8 off 20 overs. New Zealand batting first, run rate of 7.65 runs and over, then South Africa, 158 for 4 off 19.1 overs, going at a run rate of 8.24 runs and over. 6 wicket victory with 5 balls remaining. South Africa one step away, New Zealand also one step away. So it's going to be a three-way race between England, between India, New Zealand and South Africa. But at this stage it looked like New Zealand was going to qualify with South Africa. India had to win their next game against England, and we'll speak about that game, which has happened. Yeah, that was the next game of the tournament. So, 21st game of the tournament, and this match was played at Kingsmead, Durban. Yuvraj Singh. By the way, this was the T20 international debut for Rohit Sharma, and Jogindra Sharma as well, and Chris Tremlett making his T20 international debut for England. India won the toss, selected the bat first, posted a mammoth total of 218 for 4. Half centuries to Gautam Gambhir and Virendra Sehwag, both of them put in a 136-run partnership for the first wicket of 14.4 overs. Gautam Gambhir, 58 of 41 balls, 7 fours, 1 6, strike out of 141.46. He had a really good tournament. And then Virendra Sehwag, 68 of 52 balls, 4 fours, 3 sixes, strike out of 130.76. And, towards the end, it was the Yuvraj Singh show. Penultimate over of the game, there was a bit of a sledge just before that over started. Penultimate over, the innings, there was a sledge between Yuvraj Singh and Andrew Flintoff. They had quite a few words. Yuvraj Singh went over to him with a bat, threatening him. So he must have said something really bad to Andrew Flintoff to really get on Yuvraj Singh's nerves. And then the next over, a young Stuart Broad, got smacked for 6 sixes all over Kingsmead, Durban. And Yuvraj Singh etched his name in the history books, becoming the first batsman in T20 history, in T20 international history and T20 World Cup history. The only man to do it in T20 World Cups, by the way. 6 sixes in one over. Absolutely brilliant. And that proved to be the difference in the end. 218 for 4 off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 10.90 runs and over India. 2 wickets for Chris Tremlett. A wicket apiece for Andrew Flintoff and Darren Maddy. And England, a few of the batsmen got starts, but no one really carried on. And 200 for 6, though, they weren't too far away from the victory. Off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 10 runs and over. 2 wickets for RP Singh, 3 wickets for Irfan Pathan, a wicket for Harbhajan Singh. And, India winning the game, bought 18 runs. Those 6 sixes made the difference. Their World Cup campaign was alive. And they had to win against South Africa by a decent margin. They had to beat South Africa. They had to beat them by a good margin via the net run rate in order to knock South Africa out and also go through to the semis. England pretty much knocked out of the tournament, only winning one game from five games in the tournament. Didn't win a game in the Super Sixes. Very disappointing campaign for England. And then moved on to the next game. Sri Lanka versus Australia. Another knockout game. Whoever wins goes through. Whoever loses, that's it. End of the tournament for them. Australia won the toss, selected the field first, and just showed why they were the best team in the world. Bowling Sri Lanka out for 101 in 19.3 overs at a run rate of 5.17 runs an over. Sri Lanka just could not get going at all. And 4 wickets for Stuart Clark. He was outstanding. Man of the match performance from him. 4 for 20 off his 4 overs. No maiden overs. Economy rate of 5 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wide, but bowled a no ball. A wicket for Shane Watson. A wicket for Andrew Symonds. And 2 wickets apiece for Brett Lee and Nathan Bracken. Australian reply, Matthew Haddon continued his excellent tournament. 58 off, not out of 38 balls, 7 fours, 2 sixes, strike at 152.63. Adam Gilchrist, 31 not out of 25 balls, 4 fours, no sixes, strike at 124. 102 for none off their 10.2 overs at a run rate of 9.87 runs and over, smashing Sri Lanka, winning by 10 wickets with 58 balls remaining. Sri Lanka knocked out of the tournament emphatically. This match was played at Newlands, Cape Town, Australia, going through to the semi-finals. Stuart Clark, man of the match. And then the last game of the group stages, the last two games, Bangladesh versus Pakistan. Pakistan pretty much through to the group stages, just one hit out before the semi-final against whoever would be New Zealand, South Africa, or India, whoever it would be. Pakistan, this match was played at Newlands and Cape Town. Pakistan bowling Bangladesh out for 140 in 19.4 overs. Bangladesh won at a run rate of 7.11 runs and over. Junaid Siddiqui was good, 71 off 49 balls, 6 fours, 3 sixes, strike at 144.89. 2 wickets apiece for Shoaib Malik and Muhammad Hafiz, and a wicket apiece for Umar Gul, Shahid Afridi, and Muhammad Asif. And then in reply, everybody did their bit in the chase for Pakistan, finishing 141 for 6 off 19 overs, going at a run rate of 7.42 runs and over. Top scorer for them, Shahid Afridi, opening the batting this time around, 39 off 15 balls, 5 fours, 2 sixes, strike at 260. And 2 wickets for Abdul Razak, a wicket apiece for Syed Rasul Mahmudullah. And was that Mahmudullah? That's Mahmudullah Riyadh. Muhammadullah Riyadh, that's him. Oh, he's still playing. He came in young. Oh, well, how about that? Okay, so he was playing then. Yeah, 2 wickets for Abdul Razak, 1 wicket for Muhammadullah Riyadh, and a wicket for Syed Russell, and a wicket for Mashrafi Murtaza was pretty expensive. Man of the match for the game, well, Junaid Siddiqui was the man of the match, but yeah, Bangladesh knocked out of the tournament. Only 1 win from 5 games, but still a decent year for them. Ended with them qualifying for the Super 8s in the ODI World Cup and the T20 World Cup in the 1 year. So good stuff from Bangladesh. And then India versus South Africa. This game was epic. This game was brilliant. Rohit Sharma in his second ODI T20 international for India, scoring a half century, 50 of 40 balls, 7 fours, 2 sixes, not out, strike at 125. He was outstanding. MS Dhoni, the captain, doing a good job as well, 45 off 33 balls, 4 fours, 1 six, strike at 136.36, 153 for 5 off their 20 overs. India got a run rate of 7.65 runs and over. 2 wickets for Sean Pollock. 1 wicket for Mackay Anteni and a wicket for Morne Morkel. In reply, South Africa, well, they were in all sorts of trouble early on. Justin Kemp was run out as well. I think it was Rohit Sharma who ran him out. Yeah, Rohit Sharma, the young Rohit Sharma, just doing a good job in the field and running him out. So, yeah, 4 wickets for RP Singh, 4 for 13 off 4 overs, no maiden overs, economy rate 3.25 runs and over. 3 wides, didn't bowl him no ball. He absolutely ripped South Africa. South Africa were 31 for 5 when Sean Pollock departed after 5.5 overs and never recovered from that. 2 wickets for Shanta Kumar and Srisanth, and 2 wickets for Harbhajan Singh. Top scorer for South Africa was Albie Morkel, and he struggled. 36 off 37 balls, 2 fours, 1 6, struck over 97.29. No one in South Africa except Mackay Anteni only faced 2 balls, 4, not out of 2 balls, 1, 4, no 6s, strike out of 200. No one got a strike out of over 100 in that innings. South Africa restricted to 116 for 9 off their 20 overs.
going at a run rate of 5.80 runs at Everton. An absolutely spectacular performance from India with the ball. They won by a required run, the margin to leapfrog South Africa on net run rate. And also, just with that as well, South Africa to finish on 126, and they finished, even if they lost, they had to finish on 126, but they didn't. I am Sean Pollock, by the way, 2 for 17 off his 4 overs. No made. Nova's economy rate of 4.25 runs and over. Didn't bowl a wide or a no ball. Man of the match, Rohit Sharma. India through, winning the game by 37 runs. South Africa knocked out. Unfortunately, another choke in an ICC tournament. Winning all 4 games and losing the vital game that would have seen them go through to the next stage. Then the semi-finals, New Zealand versus Pakistan. Absolutely one-sided game. This game, New Zealand won the toss, selected the bat first at Newlands Cape Town. They just could not get going. And 143 for 8 off 20 overs. 3 wickets for Umar Gul. He was outstanding. 2 wickets for Fuad Alam and a wicket for Shahid Afridi. In reply, 59 of 41 balls for Imran Nazir in the final. 3 fours in the semi-final. 3 fours, 5 sixes. Yep, 5 sixes. Strike at 143.90. 147 for 4 off their 18.5 overs. Wicket apiece for Shane Bond, Daniel Tory, Scott Styris, and Jeetan Patel. But New Zealand target was not enough. 144 to win. Pakistan won the game by 6 wickets with 7 balls remaining. And New Zealand won at a run rate of 7.15 runs and over in their first innings. Pakistan going at a run rate of 7.80 runs and over. Didn't really matter about the run rate they were going out. As long as they got the target, that's all that mattered. And that's it. Pakistan went through. 6 wicket victory with 7 balls remaining. Umar Gul man of the match for his 3 wicket spell. And then India versus Australia at a semi-final at Durban. Kings meet Durban. India batting first, 188 for 5. Knight T20 as well. 188 for 5 of 20 overs. Going at a run rate of 9.40 runs and over. Excellent half century from Yuvraj Singh. Set up the innings. 2 brilliant innings in the World Cup. And 2 vital games. 1 against England and one against Australia. 70 of 30 balls. 5 fours, 5 sixes. Strikeout of 233.33. He was absolutely brutal, Yuvraj Singh. And 2 wickets for Mitchell Johnson, a wicket for Michael Clark. But yeah, it was a tough night for the Aussies, really was. And in reply, Matthew Hayden looked good. Adam Gilchrist and Matthew Hayden was looking good. 62 of 47 balls, 4 fours, no 4 sixes. Strikeout of 131.91. Andrew Symonds was looking dangerous. 43 of 26 balls, 3 fours, 2 sixes. Strikeout of 165.38. And also with the New Zealand innings, with their other innings as well. So you've read India's innings, 34 off 28 balls for 36 off 18 balls for Mahendra Singh Dhoni, 4 fours, 1 6, strikeout of 200. India, 2 wickets apiece for Sri Sarth, Irfan Pathan, and Joginder Sharma, a wicket for Harbhajan Singh. India winning the game by 15 runs, knocking Australia out in the semi finals. Yuvraj Singh, man of the match. Final, absolute thriller. Pakistan, this match was played at Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. India won the toss, so India batted first, 157 for 5, winning the toss. And T20 international debut for Irfan Pathan's brother, older brother, Yusuf Pathan. And Gautam Gambhir, superb innings from him in the final. Big knockout game, big pressure, a lot of pressure there. And performed beautifully with the bat. 75 off 54 balls, 8 fours, 2 sixes, strike at 138.88. Rohit Sharma, good little cameo from the young man in his third T20 international, his fourth T20 international for India. 30 not out of 16 balls, 2 fours, 1 six, strike out of 187.50. 157 for 5 off 20 overs, going at a run rate of 7.85 runs and over. 3 wickets for Umar Gul, a wicket apiece for Mohammad Asif and Sahil Tanvir. And in reply, Mizbal Haq looked good, unfortunately did not get Pakistan home. Top score for them, 43 off 38 balls, no fours, 4 sixes, strike at 113.15. And Yunus Khan, Imran Nazir, 33 of 14 balls, 4 fours, 2 sixes, strike of 235.71. Pakistan bowled out for 152 and 19.3 overs. 3 wickets for RP Singh, 3 wickets for Irfan Pathan, man of the match performance from him in the final. 2 wickets for Joginder Sharma and a wicket for Shartak Mohan Sri Sarth. India winning the game by 5 runs. In the last over of the game, they won it by
an absolutely thrilling margin. And that was that. An absolute thriller went down to the last over. Mizball Huck didn't need to play a lap shot. They needed five runs or four balls. Didn't need to play a lap shot down a fine leg. He scooped it up. It was a slow ball from Jaginder Sharma, who bowled the last over. MS Dhoni trusted him. And the all-rounder from Haryana did a really good job, Jaginder Sharma. He's now a policeman. And yeah, he's from Haryana, so there we go. And that's that. And Mizball Huck mistimed it and lobbed it straight to Shanta Kumar and Srisanth at fine leg. India won the first ever T20 World Cup. And it was an absolute thriller with the arch rivals. And that's the recap for the first ever T20 World Cup. It was an absolute thriller. Join us next week as we recap some more classics from T20 World Cup history. Anyways, guys, thank you very much for your time. Have a good night. Until next time, it's bye for now, and we are out of here. Let's go.